scripture that he would like for me to share with you this morning, delivered with you, but I didn't get a whole lot else. I didn't know how he wants me to present this to you this morning. I've gone throughout three different ways so far. So in 36 years, this is probably about the third time I felt like I've been left in the lurch. But with that being said, I come up with three different titles for this. Christmas Wishes, which I'm not going to preach about. Miracles of Christmas, which I'm not going to preach about either. So I am going to preach on the promises of Christmas. And what I want to share with you is a standard scripture that always gets read this time of the year, but it's a wonderful, powerful scripture because it talks to us about the promises that we have because of the birth and the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior. There's a lot of things that are done during Christmas time. And Christians seem to go from one extreme to the other, from actually into the total commercialization of Christmas to the anti-banning of everything that is not having to do with the birth of Christ. I am not in either one of those camps. I believe that we can learn a lot by taking that which we know and using it as an opportunity to share the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in any situation. So I'm not here to bash anything. I do want to say, though, that I would like that Christians not get caught up in the idea that it's all about buying. That's where we end up into trouble. It's about the giving that God gave us. And I believe in the giving spirit, but you give as you have been given to. Don't max out your credit cards. Don't go get personal loans. And I'm speaking from, unfortunately, personal experience there. It's not what Christmas is. Christmas is a promise. A promise from our God who made this promise from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when he said that he would send somebody through the flesh that would be our Redeemer. Because at that point, we had fallen. We were now sin-riddled. And the only one that can cleanse us, the only one that can give us a hope for tomorrow, his name is Jesus. And that's what Christmas is all about, and nothing more. And in that, I want to read out of Luke chapter 2. And I want to read verses 8 through 20. Verses 8 through 20. And as I read these, I would like to ask you if you would please stand in honor of God's word and then remain standing for prayer. And like I said, I know this is a very familiar passage, but listen carefully to some promises. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shine around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. First, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly, there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying of which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by him, told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told that as it was told to them. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I just truly thank you, Lord, for this day. And I just pray, Lord God, that you be with us this morning, that you would give me the words, Lord Jesus, that you have for me to share and to give in this message of truth and commitment and salvation, Lord God. I just want to thank you, Lord God, that we have a Savior which understands, which feels our pain, feels our loneliness, feels our hurts, feels the distance that we feel so many times with family and friends. Lord God, I just pray that you touch our hearts today. And what we do here in this service brings glory and honor to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Please be seated. The first thing that I want us to understand of the promise is that Scripture throughout Genesis all the way through Revelation talks about bringing glory to God. As a Christian, this is what my desire is to be, is to of all that I do bring glory to God. That I will purpose His name, purpose who He is, and to testify of the greatness of my God. And the first thing that we were told in the very beginning of the Old Testament is that He would put enmity between His seed and the seed of the enemy. This is He. This is Jesus Christ. There is no other. Jesus said specifically, "You will know when I come again, because I will come as I have left." And He left, ascended into the clouds, and therefore that is how Jesus will return. So don't listen to those crying from the mountaintops. Don't listen to those in the valleys. Don't listen to those with great charisma. Listen to the Word of God, for it is truth. Absolute truth. And you and I can count on its promises. There are many promises in this passage that we should be so thankful for this morning. And the first promise that I see is the promise to praise. Amen. They praised God in the highest. The angels praised at the birth of Jesus Christ. They praised, glory to God in the highest, because of this child that come. The incarnate Christ was now coming in the flesh. He had to come in the flesh because it was the only way that we might be saved. It was the only way that we can be pardoned. It was the only way we can be forgiven, is for Him to come in the flesh. Not only that, in the book of Hebrews, it says that we have somebody that understands exactly what we go through. Oh man, I'm so glad of that. There is nothing that I cannot approach my Lord Jesus Christ with that He does not understand. Please don't get beat off into the corner by the enemy, because he loves to get us off into that corner, his corner, and convince us that nobody understands and that God doesn't understand. He only is out there as a wrathful God to punish us. That's not true. That's a lie. You see, every time we meet in service, every time we sing songs, every time we open up His Word, every time we're in Sunday school class, every Wednesday evening that we meet, every time the choir comes to practice, every time the youth are out there and they're working toward things of the Lord, this WMU right here, this Christmas community child, we are praising God. We're praising Him. Taking a message that has been given to us of giving. Giving to a humanity that He created so that He can gather all of those who would believe. Now you understand that. Who believe will be gathered together to Him with Him one day. Those who don't believe will not be gathered together with Him. I want to make that very clear. You must believe in this Christ child, the one that we celebrate. I know the story. Well, He wasn't born on December 25th and yada, yada, yada. I don't care. I just don't care. I don't want to just celebrate Christmas on December 25th. I want to celebrate Christmas every day of the year. That's how I want to celebrate Christmas, because Christmas affects me every day of the year. Amen. It affects you every day of the year. Compassion, caring, love, and giving. All of these things aren't to be done just one season of 12 months. It's to be done every day of the year by God's people. Reaching out and helping. This is praising God. Do we not love to praise God? You see, we can't praise God if we're so deep in debt. We can't praise God if all we're thinking about is, did I give everybody and my relatives all the way down to the shirt tail something for Christmas? Did I make sure I covered everybody? Do I make sure I've got all the turkey and the ham and all the fixings and all that stuff? Do I got that? You have just robbed yourself of the blessing of what Christmas is about. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming in visitation to this place called earth that He created for His creatures, small and big. He came. You see, sometimes Christians forget that when the fall took place, all of His creation suffered. All. There was no death. There was only life and everything, eternal life and everything. But when man fell to sin, all of creation suffered. And is still suffering because they die right along with us. But I can still praise God. Because I'm not born in the Old Testament days. I'm born in the days of grace. I was born when Jesus came and lived and died on my behalf, on your behalf. It's like I said before, and I want you to understand this, there's nothing you can do to deserve this salvation, and there is nothing you can do to earn it. God provided it. If you could, then Jesus' death was null and void if you could do something to get it on your own. And that is a blasphemy to His name. That is a blasphemy to the name of our God. Let's praise Him. Let's lift His name. Glory to God in the highest. Amen? We've got the promise of praise. Not before it came, but since He's come, we can praise Him. That's a promise to me. You know, there's very few people that ever saw the King of Kings in His incarnate stage. Moses had to hide in the cleft of a rock and only see the backside of Jesus, and his whole countenance changed, or he would have died. Oh, it's not like what you and I have here today. Praise God and thank His holy name. Promise of praise. We also have the promise of pardon, forgiveness. He says in verse 11, he says, "For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." When was the last time you ever heard of God only giving you just enough of what you need? This isn't it. He gave everything we need in the Savior, that word Savior, Messiah. He is the only name whereby you and I may receive forgiveness. There's a lot of other people and a lot of other churches, a lot of other religions that'll tell you something different. But that's not what God's Word says. And in Revelation, he says, anyone who adds to or takes from this Word shall be condemned. Oh, what about all those souls and all those people that think they have to add something to God's Bible, to God's Word, or to take away from it because, you know what, this is the 21st century after all. That can't mean for us. I mean, we all know what Romans 1 and 2 is all about. It's about becoming so steeped in sin that we deny the natural affections for one another as men and women and that kind of thing, to be deceived, to believe that anybody can just love anybody in a very sensual way, and that's a lie. You see, that's what happens when we deny the Word of God. That's what happens when it becomes a 21st century word only. In fact, there are Bibles being printed today that are taking those passages right out. Thanks, but no thanks. You and I, we are called to live the Word of truth. And it may not go along and will not go along with societal believing and practice. And there will be a recompense one day to us who do believe that. Somebody was just sharing with me this morning that China has now outlawed all religion in China altogether. Doesn't matter what it is. In fact, on a worship day of one of the churches over there, they bulldozed the building down. You think that's far from here? You better think again. And we better know which side of the fence we're on. There are going to be many in churches that say, you know what, I don't want to get so high and mighty that I'm no earthly good. How many have ever heard that? Oh, don't get so high and mighty that you're no earthly good. That is the biggest bold-faced bunch of baloney I've ever heard in my life. I want to get so heavenly-minded that I'm only earthly good. Do you understand that? The closer I am to God, the more good I am to you and to those I'm witnessing to. But oh, all these little pet sayings that come around try to fry us from the truth. My friend, I thank God so much for the promise of my pardon, my forgiveness. I'd be locked up in chains today, hell-bound for all eternity, if it wasn't for the name of Jesus Christ. He has made the difference in my life because He pardoned me. The promise of praise, the promise of pardon. We're also given the promise of pursuit. He told them in Luke 2:12, he says, "And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Well, a little bit later on, those shepherds go, "Hey, I think we need to go find this person that these angels were talking about, this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes." You know what that tells me? That God has given me a promise of pursuit. I can pursue my Lord and my God. Now, I only do because He pursued me first. Didn't He do that with the angels, with the shepherds there? He pursued them in the coming of Christ through the glorious symphony of the angels. As they heard them praise God, man, that must have been a sight. Can you imagine that? Whoa! One angel standing atop would have been enough. But that wasn't all there was, because it later said that he was joined with a multitude of angels. That's more than you and I can count. If that didn't shake you to your feet, nothing would. It moved them to say, if they're praising God for the pardon of mankind, then there has to be a providence in the coming of Jesus Christ. We're going to pursue him. And they pursued after him. And they saw him. And they glorified God in the highest, because their Savior, the Messiah, had been born. See, we have to understand something here. God needed the perfect sacrifice in order for us to be pardoned. You understand that? Had to be perfect and had to be without blemish. That's why Jesus Christ came. The Son of God came. God in the flesh came, because only he could deliver that kind of a sacrifice. Now listen, my friends. It took a perfect sacrifice, and that perfection, Christ never sinned. He went to the cross in absolute innocence. He didn't deserve to die. He did nothing but preach the message of his Father. That's what the Bible says. He says, I preach the message of my Father. Now, you're hearing the word this morning. You might have heard the word someplace else. You might have heard the testimony of some real Bible-believing Christian out there. Has it stirred up a spirit in your heart to pursue who Jesus is? Oh, I pray it has. The only one that will stop you from pursuing the truth is you. Satan can't keep you from the truth. He can only try to distract you and detour you from the truth and feed you all kinds of lies about the truth. You want to know the truth? Here it is, right here. This is the truth. So, my friend, pursue that pardon which has come through the praise of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Christmas. This is the promise of Christmas. Do I hear an amen? Oh, man. How powerful that is. So, are we praising God right now? Are we thanking him for the pardon that in his name we've been given? Are some of us that have never trusted in this Jesus Christ that the Bible talks about? I'm not talking about religion. I don't care about religion. I don't care about Southern Baptist or Episcopalian or any other religion out there. I care about what the Word of God says. That's what you have to determine in your life. Are you going to pursue the real Christ from the real Word and fall on your knees and on your face before him who is worthy of worship, that you might receive pardon? The promise of pardon. The promise if we pursue. The fourth thing that I want us to see is that there is a promise of peace. He says here in 14, he says, glory to God in the highest. Praise, praise, praise. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Jesus came to bring peace to earth. He did. As we can see, man has chosen another path. They're doing everything they can but have peace. But it goes a lot deeper than that. You see, there's called a peace in the heart. There's called a peace in the life. Jesus, when I trusted him as my Savior, gave me a peace that passes all understanding. Amen. That's the peace. There will never be peace on this world until he comes again. But you can have peace in your heart. You can know that you can live in a world that is chaotic and still experience the peace of God. I love the scripture of the Samaritan lady when she was going to the well. And Jesus was there. He was all tuckered out. He had to purposefully, by the way, send his disciples in to get food. Because they were Jewish core through, as was Jesus. But they didn't understand. They would have said, "This Samaritan woman, you got to be kidding me. She's a Samaritan and she's a woman. You don't talk to her." So Jesus sent him away so that he could give her the message of living water. Guess what? When she received that message of living water, she received the peace that Christ and only He can give. Amen. The peace that the lepers had. The peace that the woman who suffered with the issue of blood for 40 years had. The peace that she had. You see, as I shared with so many, for the first time in my life, in suffering with this continuous heart situation and condition, I learned to trust God and be in peace, whether it's in or whether it's out. I've never done that before. And I'll tell you what, when you search and receive the promise of God's peace, He always delivers. Be anxious for nothing, he says. Don't worry about anything. And you want to know why that is? It's because he is sovereign. He is God. And he loves every one of his children. I want to make a clarification here. All humanity is not God's children. All humanity is God's creation. Only God's children are those that are born to Him by the second birth, as in John chapter 3, explained to Nicodemus, we must be born again. Then we become His children. If we don't, we're not His children, we're just His creation. And heaven and hell are a real place and a real destination. But see, I don't worry about that because I have peace in my soul because I know when I die where I'm going to go. Not because I'm so good looking. Not because I'm just so spry or I'm financially off well enough to do it. None of that matters to God. He's looking into my heart to see if Jesus Christ is there. Sitting on the throne of my life. Then I can have peace. So He has given us a promise of peace. And the last thing that I want us to see, He's given us an opportunity and a promise to participate. Probably saying, what are you talking about? Well, in that verse 14 again, He says that on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Who's to take that goodwill towards men? Right here. That would be us. That would be yous and I's. We're to take that. God has given us an opportunity to participate in the gospel message of His Son to take the lost, dying, hell-bound people. I'm not going to threat people with the word. I'm not going to beat them over the head with God's word. I'm not going to threaten and try to abuse and scare them to death. You see, all of that is only a temporary fix to an immediate emotion. I want to let people know how much God loves them and how much He loves them because He sent Jesus Christ to come for them, to be the Savior of our souls. and one day reign with him forever in all eternity. That's the message we have. That's the message we should be giving. I am not for the violent type of street preaching that I've heard before that tries to pound and intimidate and scare people into trusting Christ. That doesn't last. But what I want to do is I want to tell them about the love of God that He has for them and for you, each and every one. You want peace in your life? You want to know how things really get to work together? They work together through good, through those who love Him. Romans 8, 38 and 39. You got to love Him to understand that. You got to love Him to understand that there's nothing, when we're His and in His hands, there is nothing that can take us out. Nothing. I've heard some Christians say, well, you can take yourself out. Well, that's just kind of contradictory to God's word, because Jesus said, once I place you in my Father's hand, no one can take you out. Not Satan, not demons, not your wife or your children or your grandparents, and not even you. You can't do it. That's why I believe in eternal security, and I believe in eternal salvation. But I also believe when a person is truly saved, there is a new life to be seen. We don't say, yes, I believe in Jesus, and then go out and live the same old way we did. My friend, this Christmas and every day, we've been given so many promises of hope, so many promises of love, so many promises of trust. So many promises, and my greatest, and I quote this all the time, but it means so much to me, the promise that He will never leave me or forsake me, ever. Even when I fail, even when I stumble, and even when I falter, even when I doubt, even when I question, God cannot lose me or misplace me. Nor can He you. So as we celebrate Christmas in a few days, a little over a week, what are we going to celebrate about Christmas? What an opportunity if we're with family or we're with friends to let them know why we have the peace that we have, why we have the promise of pardon that we have, why we can praise the way that we do, why we can pursue the Savior. Why we can participate in the message. It is the calling of every Christian and every believer. That is my life. That's my life. May not be popular or pleasant or successful in the lives of a lot of people. But then you all know I don't care. Because I'm not here to please people. I'm here to try to please my God in every way that I can. We see what happens to people who try to please people. They lose sight. They get distracted. And the things of the world edge their way in and become more important than the things of God. So today can be a new day for you. During our invitation, I want to just offer an opportunity to two of us. One, to that person who has never, ever trusted and received Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, as the only qualified Savior of the world. I just pray today that this message of hope is heard in your heart. And then secondly, to that Christian that might get caught up in all the things that the world says Christmas is all about, and say, you know what? I want to repent and get back on track. And I want to be a part of the things that matter. Not a part of the things that don't. Love, compassion, giving, caring, those matter. Are they seen in our life?